ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
वी रीडिंग दिस मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड्स स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 32।
अवधूता जलदाह परापतन ग्रहाश्च तद्दृष्टि विमुष्ट रोचिषः अम्भोदय श्वासहता विचुक्षुभूर् निहरादभी तद्दिगिभा विचुक्रुषु सटावधूता।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: द हेयर ऑन नरसिम्हदेव्स हेड शुक द क्लाउड्स एंड स्कैटर्ड देम हियर एंड देयर। His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and the oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41, Yad yad vibhuti matsattvam shrimad urjitamevava तत्तत् एवाव गच्छत्वं मम तेजोंश संभवात्। नो दैट ऑल ब्यूटिफुल ग्लोरियस एंड माइटी क्रिएशंस स्प्रिंग फ्रॉम बट अ स्पार्क ऑफ माय स्प्लेंडर। द इल्यूमिनेशन ऑफ द प्लैनेट्स एंड द स्टार्स इन द स्काई इज बट अ पार्शियल मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ द लॉर्ड्स इफल्जेंस। देर आर मेनी वंडरफुल क्वालिटीज ऑफ डिफरेंट लिविंग एंटिटीज, बट वॉट एवर एक्स्ट्राऑर्डिनरी थिंग्स एग्जिस्ट are but part of the Lord's tejas, His illumination or brilliance. The deep waves of the seas and oceans and the many other wonders within the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all become insignificant when the Lord, in His special feature, incarnates within the material world. Everything is insignificant in comparison to His personal, all-defeating, transcendental qualities.
Utavadhuta jaladah parapatan.
So we are continuing this beautiful narration of how Lord Narasimhadev slays the king of the demons Hiranyakashipu. It is quite interesting that the Lord appears in this world on the request, the plea and the appeal of His pure devotees. Apart from all the other reasons for the Lord's appearance in the world, the most prominent, significant and relevant reason for all of us is that the Lord always agrees to comply by the request and the desire of His pure devotees. Vasudeva and Devaki desire to have Krishna. Krishna appears in this world. Aditi and Kashyapa Muni want to have the Lord appear in their life. Vamanadeva appears in this world. Jamadagni and Renuka want to have the Lord appear in their life. Lord Parshuram appears in this world. Rohini and Vasudev are responsible for the appearance of Lord Balaram. Vishnu Shaya and his good wife will be the cause of the appearance for Lord Kalki. It is none but the pure devotees of the Lord who are responsible for the appearance of the Lord in this world. It is nothing but the pure devotion of Prahlad that has been responsible for the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev in this world. The interesting point, however, is that when the Lord does appear, He also goes away. Lord Narasimhadev appears in this world and goes away. Krishna appears in this world and goes away. Parshuram appears in this world and goes away. Kalki will appear in this world and will go away. Every incarnation of the Lord will come to this world, comes to this world and goes away. But it's quite interesting that the appearance of the Lord or His incarnations in our personal life is made possible by Parikshit Maharaj. Vasudeva and Devaki brought Krishna and Krishna left. Jamadagni and Renuka brought Parashuram and Parashuram left. Prahlad brought Narasimhadev and Narasimhadev left. But Parikshit brought all the incarnations and they are here to stay for the rest of eternity in the form of the sound vibrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore we have access to these incarnations of the Lord. Well, Vasudeva and Devaki might have wanted Krishna in their life. Krishna came and left. And who would have known Krishna unless Parikshit Maharaj would have been responsible for the appearance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we wouldn't have Janmashtami festival. We wouldn't have Narasimha Chaturdashi. We wouldn't have Vamantrayodashi. We wouldn't have any festival. So if we see who is responsible for the appearance of the Lord in our personal lives, then it is Parikshit Maharaj. It is because of his eagerness to hear, because of his intense greed to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the Lord appears. We wouldn't even be reading about Lord Narasimhadev unless it was Parikshit Maharaj who would have desired strongly to hear about the Lord. So our gratitude extends to such great souls as Maharaj Parikshit, who have been the responsible factors and personalities for the appearance of the Lord in our life, for the appearance of the concept of Bhakti Yoga, concept of devotional service in our lives. And therefore, this morning I would like to discuss a few verses from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1 entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, and highlight the eagerness of Maharaj Parikshit to hear about the glories of Lord Krishna. As we progress through these few verses, whatever is possible in the limited time, we will also see the different wonderful teachings, siddhantas and lessons that unfold through these most beautiful Sanskrit shlokas spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukdev Goswami. Shukdev Goswami has finished speaking the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and now he begins to describe the 10th canto. But even before he begins to describe, Parikshit Maharaj, 10.1.1, canto 10, chapter 1, verse 1, now makes a request to Maharaj, the Shukdev Maharaj. Shri Rajovacha Kathito Vamsha Vistaraha Bhavata Soma Suryayo Ragyam Cha Ubhaya Vamshanam Charitam Paramadbhutam. He says, Kathitaha Vamsha Vistaraha. My dear Shukdev Goswami, in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vistaraha, very elaborately, even in our local language we hear this word Vistar. Vistar se samjhao, bade vistrit roop se samjhaya. Vistaraha, Vistaraha kathitaha, you have described in great elaborate detail in the 9th canto. What? What has Shukadeva Goswami described in great elaborate detail? Vamshaha, he has described the dynasties. You have described in great elaborate details, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, the dynasties. Which dynasties? Soma Surya Yoho. You have described to me the moon dynasty, and you have described to me the sun dynasty. Chandra Vamsha and Surya Vamsha. Of course, nowadays there are a lot of people who say they are Chandra Vamsha and Surya Vamsha. But that's another question. Whether they really belong to the Chandra Vamsha or Surya Vamsha is another question. But you have someone like Surya Kant Chandra Vamsha and Rahul Surya Vamsha. Names. Staying only in names today. But you have elaborately described to me the Surya Vamsha and the Chandra Vamsha. And when you explain the dynasty, what do you explain about the dynasty? The palace, the kingdom, the treasury, the wealth, the diamonds, the gold, the ivory thrones? No. Ragyam cha ubhaya vamshanam. As soon as a dynasty is described, Ragyam cha, the kings in that dynasty are described. So you have described in the 9th canto the Chandra Vamsha and all the kings in the Chandra Vamsha. And you have described to me the Surya Vamsha and all the kings in the Surya Vamsha. What is so special about this? Many times, you know, when the Bhagavatam comes and all of this dynasty after dynasty and such complicated names anyways, to go through all of these names itself is a big hassle, and devotees always feel kabhi khatam ho gaya chapter. When will this chapter get over? It's only name after name after name. He married her and then he had 5 sons, and then the one son married her and he had so many sons and so many daughters, and it goes on. And if you carefully observe the 10th canto, one of those volumes, probably the 10th canto, there are the genealogical tables and all of those different dynasties explained. And my God, it's complicated. It spare us, you know, we were passing our history exams and just to remember all those names in the history books of 5th, 6th, 7th standard was so much. And now all of these names again. Why should we remember all of these names? Why should Shukadeva Goswami start describing about the Soma Vamsha, the Surya Vamsha? What is the purpose? Why have all of these names being described in the Paramhamsa Samhita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was once asked this question, Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, the message of Gita is what is most important, and the first chapter is all about names only. And there are the names of the Kauravas also. Too many names in the first few verses, name after name after name. And Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, why description of so many names in the Gita, whereas the message of the Gita is very important? Srila Prabhupada replied, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Whatever is in Krishna Sambandha, we are interested in that. All of these names are Krishna Sambandha. They are all in relation to Krishna. They are all going to unfold the qualities, the pastimes, the message, the teachings of Krishna. And that is why we are interested in these names. Prabhupada writes in a purport, we are not interested in the description of the kings like Nala. Why? Because there is no Krishna Sambandha. There have been Alexander, there has been Napoleon Bonaparte, and there have been so many different kings. But we are not interested in the descriptions of these kings because there is no Krishna Sambandha. Whereas any other king, any other dynasty that leads to either unfolding the most ambrosial elixir of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, or if it is responsible for unfolding the nectarian timeless wisdom of the teachings of the Lord, then such kings and such dynasties are of crucial interest in the lives of devotees. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Anything that is in Krishna Sambandha, we are interested. Anything that has no Krishna Sambandha, who cares a fig for such things in the world? Right. That is the life of a devotee. A life is for a devotee is, he is interested in anything and everything that brings Krishna Sambandha. And anything and everything that does not have any connection to Krishna, he is not interested. Neither is Shukadeva Goswami, you know, doing some time pass sitting on the Vyasasan, just narrating some stupid kings. Nor is Parikshit Maharaj interested in knowing of some useless guys who ruled over a kingdom. Both of them are interested in Krishna Sambandha. Kathitaha Vamsha Vistaraha Bhavata Soma Suryayo Ragyamcha Ubhaya Vamshanam. I am very much interested. You have already described to me the kings of the Chandra Vamsha and the Surya Vamsha. Why? Why have you described? Charitam Param Adhutam. Because these kings are not kings of low character. Charitam Param Adhutam. These kings in the Chandra Vamsha and the Surya Vamsha are of kings of very high character. It is not someone who is after, you know, a king who is after 100 queens, or a king who is after just, you know, seducing some women, or a king who is after just amassing property after property after property and trying to call himself the unrivaled emperor of the earth. These kings are not obsessed by material ambitions. The character of these kings is not stained and tainted with materialistic desires. These kings have very high character. Charitam Parama Adbhutam. We are not interested, Parikshit Maharaj says, in kings who have low character. We are interested in kings who have very high character. And what is real high character? Real high character doesn't simply mean some nobility. Real high character doesn't simply mean some virtue. That is true. Yes, we must give credit. Credit to those who are very noble. Credit to those who are very virtuous. But that is not the highest character. Highest character means a person who has the principles of devotional service in his life. All the kings, O Shukadeva Maharaj, you have described to me, are the ones who have applied the principles of pure devotional service. And therefore, charitam, param, adbhutam, very high character. That is precisely why you have described to me all of these great kings. Our Vaishnava Acharyas have explained that Parikshit Maharaj is through this verse revealing to Shukadeva Goswami and giving us a very crucial lesson that without hearing the high character of devotees, one cannot approach Krishna Leela. Krishna Leela appears in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, but the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam are talking of the Parama Adbhuta Charitra of the great devotees of the Lord. Whether it is Dhruva, whether it is Prahlad, whether it's Sagar, whether it's Bhagirath, whether it's Ambarish, And in fact, the Vaishnava Acharya specially highlight the name of Amrish. Parikshit says, my dear Sukhdeva Goswami, Ragyam cha Ubhayavamshanam Charitam Paramadbhutam, you have especially highlighted in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam the Parama Adbhuta Charitra of Maharaj Amrish and the extent of his devotional service. And thanks for that, you have prepared me for listening to the nectarian pastimes of Lord Krishna. And therefore the pastimes of Krishna and the pastimes of his devotees can never be separated. In fact, hearing about Krishna is only possible when one hears about the devotees of the Lord. Hearing about the high character of the devotees of the Lord not only purifies our consciousness, but also gives us an excellent, impeccable example to emulate and follow. Therefore, when one hears about devotees of the Lord, one purifies his consciousness. And thereafter, then when Krishna Lila enters through the ear holes into the heart, it makes more sense. It makes more relevance. It makes more impact. It has tremendous effect in the life of a devotee. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada so mercifully brought this high character of devotees all over the world. One time a reporter came to Srila Prabhupada, American reporter, and said to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, is Saint Joan of Arc mentioned in your Srimad Bhagavatam? Srila Prabhupada said, who is Saint Joan of Arc? The reporter said, Saint Joan of Arc is a very famous Christian saint, and she was completely devoted to the teachings of Lord Jesus Christ. Srila Prabhupada said, if she was devoted to the teachings of Jesus Christ, then wherever Saint Joan of Arc is mentioned, that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. She may not be mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but wherever Saint Joan of Arc is mentioned, then that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, if we read books like the 7th Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, or A Ray of Vishnu, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Charitram, Paramadbhutam, then those books are Srimad Bhagavatam. They may not be mentioned in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but wherever they are mentioned is the Srimad Bhagavatam because of their high character. Charitam Parama Adbhutam. Srila Prabhupada so meticulously and with such high care wanted the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement to observe the appearance and the disappearance days of all of our Vaishnava Acharyas so that we could remember, discuss and prepare ourselves by hearing their Charitam Parama Adbhutam, to listen to the beautiful transcendental glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. It was about 1973 or probably 74 at Sevenbury Place in London. In the morning at about 5 o'clock, just outside the Sevenbury Place temple, a white stretch limousine came up, and getting out of the white stretch limousine was a chauffeur who was dressed in a immaculate black suit, putting a first-class British hat with polished leather shoes. He climbed up the stairs of the Bari Place temple to enter into the temple. And there was one devotee standing there and he gave him a chit. On the chit was written, Dhananjay Das. This was Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Dhananjay Prabhu, British devotee from England. And when this name was written, Dhananjay Das, this chit was taken into the temple hall, it was Mangal Arati going on, and Dhananjay Prabhu immediately came out to see who this man was. So as he came out to find out who this man was, he said, you are looking for me? He said, yes. Said, Dhananjay Das? The man said, yes. He said, by the way, who are you and what brings you here? He said, the limousine is waiting outside, and I have 100 pounds in my pocket. You must now come with me and I shall drive you to the fruit and the vegetable market, and with this 100 pounds you should buy vegetables and fruits for the Lord. Now, in those days, 73-74, 100 pounds was a lot of money. Today 100 pounds people spend on, you know, just a meal sometimes. But those days 100 pounds was a lot of money. And then Dhananjay Prabhu was a little bewildered, confused. He said, what happened? I mean, out of the blues you are coming and offering me 100 pounds, but who are you and why have you come here? He said, George Harrison, last night he was on a yacht on the River Thames
with John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and all three of them were having a nice time partying or whatever on the yacht. And as he got up this morning, he remembered that today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when he remembered that it is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told John Lennon that today is the disappearance day of one of the most important spiritual masters of the planet. And therefore, somehow or the other, we have to do some service. And we have to facilitate the celebration of this festival. So how are we going to do it? He said, I'll give this 100 pounds and send it to the Seven Bari Place temple so that this festival can be celebrated. John Lennon said, how will you send? He said, well, we have to think, how will we send? My car is not here. He said, okay, you take my limousine. So John Lennon gave his limousine and gave his chauffeur. And the chauffeur brought this 100 pounds and gave it to Dhananjay Prabhu. In fact, he took Dhananjay Prabhu, drove him. Imagine going in a white stretch limo to the vegetable and fruit market and buying fruits and vegetables worth 100 pounds. And for what? For the celebration of the disappearance day of His Divine Grace Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. The whole point then is, if it were not for Srila Prabhupada, what to speak of the disappearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Who would even know Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada? But Prabhupada was so kind that he brought the Parama Adbhuta Charitra, the most wonderful character and qualities of this excellent, highly placed, advanced Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas and brought them to the whole world. So herein, Parikshit Maharaj is telling Shukadeva Goswami, Kathitah vamsha vistara bhavata soma suryayo ragyam cha ubhaya vamshanam charitam paramadbhutam. You have now told me about the soma vamsha, the surya vamsha and all the kings in both of these dynasties. By doing so, you have purified my heart, made me ready to listen to the wonderful qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. In mentioning the two dynasties, Parikshit Maharaj said, Soma Surya Yoho. Anyone who knows a little bit of Vedic astronomy, or anyone who knows Srila Prabhupada's stance based on the Srimad Bhagavatam on the moon and the sun issue, knows that sun comes first and moon comes later. The sun is closer to earth than the moon. And when Prabhupada was asked, how can you say sun is closer than the moon? And Prabhupada very simply said, so in the week, Sunday comes first and Monday comes later. Monday comes later. I mean, for the scientists to hear that, you can imagine, you know, Prabhupada said, Sunday comes, as a matter of fact. Prabhupada such like an innocent child, as a matter of fact. Sunday comes first and Monday comes later, so sun comes first and moon comes later. But any person who knows Vedic astronomy, definitely, Parikshit Maharaj, who is from the Vedic times, knows Vedic astronomy thoroughly well and knows that the sun comes first, the moon comes later. And even otherwise, in the Treta Yuga, the Surya Vamsha is prominent first and the Yadu Vamsha or the Chandra Vamsha becomes prominent later in Dwapara Yuga. Then why is he mentioning the Chandra Vamsha first? He is mentioning Chandra Vamsha first because about the Surya Vamsha, Lord Ram's character in 9th canto, one chapter has already been over. Now Parikshit Maharaj is very eager to hear about Krishna. He doesn't want to take any chances. He says, if I mention Surya first, who knows, Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami might want to continue Ram Leela. That I'll read in Valmiki Ramayana. No problem. He has already described Ram Leela. Now I am eager to hear Krishna Leela. Therefore he speaks of Chandra Vamsha and Chandra comes. In the Chandra Vamsha comes Lord Krishna. Next verse, Parikshit Maharaj further now speaks on one king from Chandra Vamsha. Previously he generalizes by speaking only the Chandra Vamsha and Surya Vamsha. Now in verse 2 he focuses on one king. You have described to me elaborately the character of all the kings in Surya and Chandra Vamsha. Now one king in particular. Which king? Yadoshcha dharmashilascha Nitaram Muni Sattama. Parikshit Maharaj addresses Shukadeva Goswami as Muni Sattama. Muni comes from mana. He who uses his mana, his mind to contemplate on the reality of the world is called a Muni. Such a person in English is translated as a sage. A person who contemplates on the world, the reality of the world and the reality of life using his mind is called a Muni. In English, a sage. such a sage, such a muni, after a lot of contemplation and meditation, comes to the stage of achieving wisdom. Such a sage who has achieved wisdom is called a muni sat. In English, a venerable sage. And such a sage who has achieved wisdom, when he achieves complete and total devotion to the Lord, is called muni sattama, the best amongst the sages. So muni means a sage, muni sat means a venerable sage, and muni sattama means the best amongst the sages. Muni means a sage who contemplates on the reality of the world. Muni sat means a sage who has achieved wisdom. And muni sattama means a sage who has not only achieved wisdom, but total devotion unto the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit addresses Shukadeva Goswami as muni sattama. He who has achieved total devotion to the Lord, and therefore he knows no one else but him would be responsible for describing the glorious character and activities of Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was so kind, Shukadeva Goswami was addressed as Muni Sattama, and here Srila Prabhupada came to make the Mlechhas and Yavanas like us into Muni Sattamas. What a challenge. We are not talking about Dwapar Yuga, we are not talking about Satya Yuga, we are not talking about Treta Yuga, we are talking about Kali Yuga. We are talking about Kali Yuga at its peak. We are talking about Kali Yuga where things have degenerated to such an extent that forget about religion. We can talk of these terms like Muni Sattama. And Srila Prabhupada came to make everyone, bring everyone to that stage of not just being a sage or a venerable sage, but the best amongst the sages. Achieve total devotion through devotional service unto our beloved Lord Sri Krishna. Deen Dayadri Mataji, she was telling a nice story. Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles. He had darshan of Rukmini Dwarkadhish. And there was an ecstatic kirtan going on in the temple. And as this ecstatic kirtan was going on and all the devotees were dancing in ecstasy, Srila Prabhupada started laughing loudly in the middle of the kirtan. Now everyone was extremely bewildered. I mean, in the middle of the kirtan, if you smile, it's fine. But if someone starts laughing in the middle of the kirtan, it's a distraction sometimes. But Prabhupada was laughing now. So Prabhupada kept laughing and the devotees were bewildered. So one devotee came and asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, why are you laughing?" Prabhupada said, "I am laughing because Narad Muni is also dancing with all of you." He said, "Really? Prabhupada, Narad Muni is here?" He said, "You all can't see, but I can see that Narad Muni is right here in the kirtan, right now whilst you are all dancing." And then the devotees asked Prabhupada, "What is Narad Muni doing?" The devotee, Bhakshila Prabhupada, said, "Narad Muni is laughing loudly." So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, "Narad Muni is laughing? Why is Narad Muni laughing?" Prabhupada replied, "Narad Muni is laughing to see that all Mlechhas and Yavanas and Chandalas are dancing in ecstasy and chanting Hare Krishna. Narad Muni is laughing to see this." Right? And Prabhupada said, "Because he is laughing in joy, I am laughing in joy." Right? So that was Srila Prabhupada bringing the stage of Muni Sattama, devotional service, to personalities like us who had absolutely no qualification. Mlechhas, Yavanas, Chandalas, from all points of view, not qualified. But Srila Prabhupada came to make such unqualified people into Muni Sattamas, into the best amongst devotees. Right. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, addressing Shukadeva Goswami as, "O Muni Sattama, O best amongst all the sages," is saying, focusing on one king, "Yadoscha dharma shilascha nitaram Muni Sattama, yadoscha dharma shilascha." In the Chandravamsha, amongst all the kings, is now focusing on Maharaj Yadu. Because from Yadu comes the Yadava dynasty, like from Raghu comes the Raghava dynasty. In the Suryavamsha is King Raghu, and the followers of King Raghu are the Raghavas. In the Chandravamsha is King Yadu, and the followers of the King Yadu are the Yadavas. Like in the Raghu dynasty, Lord Ram appears. In the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna appears. So he's so interested in hearing about Krishna, focuses. The whole focus now comes on King Yadu. Maharaj Yayati, from his wife Devayani, had two sons, Yadu and Turvasu. And through his wife Sharmishta, he had three sons, Anu, Druishu, and Puru. Maharaj Jayati, however, was extremely attached to enjoy sense gratification even in his extreme old age. To such an extent that he came and he asked his sons, "Can we have an exchange offer? You give me your youth and I'll give you my old age. So I'll enjoy, and then after I'm satisfied with enjoyment, then we'll again exchange our youth." I mean, that is sometimes ridiculous to even hear today, that a father comes and asks the son, "Well, you know, I have a desire to enjoy sense gratification, give me your youth." Anyways, if the father wants, they can't change, even if they want, but in those days they could change. The first son, Yadu, was asked. He denied. "Sorry, I can't give you my youth." The second son, Turvasu, was asked. He denied. "I can't give you my youth." The third son, Anu, was asked. He denied. Druhyu was asked. He denied. Puru was asked. He agreed. Maharaj Puru agreed. He exchanged his youth with Yayati. He became an old man. And Maharaj Yayati became a young man, enjoying sense gratification to its limits. Now, a son, according to the Vedic culture, who does not obey the orders of his father is called an adharmi. According to the codes of conduct of dharma, a son is supposed to follow the orders of his father. Lord Ram is called Dharmashil because as soon as Dasharath Maharaj pronounced that he should go to the forest for 14 years, he was willing to go. Didn't even think twice, therefore he is Dharmashil. A person who disobeys the parents, a person who disobeys the father is called an Adharmashil. In this verse, Parikshit Maharaj calls Yadu, "Yadoscha Dharmashilascha." How can Maharaj Parikshit address Maharaj Yadu as Dharmashil? He has disobeyed Yayati. He has not exchanged his youth with his father. Father has given an order and plainly has said sorry. How can a son who disobeys the order of a father be called Dharmashil? It is explained by our Vaishnava Acharyas. Maharaj Yayati considered in his heart with great deliberation that Maharaj Yayati is my father, but he is the father of my body. Krishna is my father, the supreme father, and he is the father of my soul. And when there comes a clash between the order of the father of the body and the father of the father of the soul must be given prominence. Maharaj Yadu understood very carefully that Krishna has to appear in my dynasty, and if I exchange my youth with my father Yayati, it will take time. I don't know how long he'll enjoy, and who knows whether he'll give me my youth back or no. I am supposed to be responsible to beget the child, and then in that dynasty Krishna will come. I don't know if my father will give my youth back or not. And Krishna will then not appear. My service to my supreme father Krishna takes prominence over my service to my material father Yayati. And therefore, the only time when a child might even consider disobeying the parents is when there is a conflict in the orders of the Supreme Father and the material father. At all other times, the codes of dharma dictate that a son must try and follow the orders of the father. Otherwise, he gets stamped to be adharmashil. Maharaj Yadu here is called Dharmashil because he prioritized the orders and service to his Supreme Father, Krishna. Right. One time, our Sachinandan Maharaj, he was saying that his father, who was a German, he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. He was very upset that his son was now a Hare Krishna. He was not so upset that he was a Hare Krishna, but the son had totally changed his attire, his hairstyle, everything was changed. Very weird kind of clothes, very weird kind of haircut, completely bald, at least bald, fine, totally bald was okay, there was a ponytail hanging away and looked funny. So the father was extremely upset and he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Swamiji, you are bringing all of these American, German, European boys and girls into your movement and you are trying to attire them in the Indian cultural ways, you are trying to induct them into the Indian culture. But it is just like if you take a crocodile from Egypt, where it's very hot, If you take a crocodile from Egypt and put it in the cold Rhine River, the crocodile will die. The climate is too much different. Here it's the cold river, there it's used to the hot climate, it won't survive. So you're taking all the German European boys who are adapted to certain lifestyle and you're putting them in the Indian culture. It's like taking a crocodile from a certain climate and putting it in another climate, it won't survive. I do not think that these boys and girls will survive. Why have you made them into, European Indians? What is this going on? Srila Prabhupada understood that. He was really upset with the attire really. And Srila Prabhupada said, you can also be a devotee of Krishna in a suit and a tie. You don't only have to wear, dhoti and kurta to be a devotee. He knew that he was so much attached to the western attire, his father. He said that you can be a devotee of Krishna even in a suit and a tie. The father was not so much convinced because he was intellectual. But Sachinandan Maharaj was telling that the words of a pure devotee had so much impact on his father. That later his father remarked after coming out of the room of Srila Prabhupada. He told his son, Sachinanda Maharaj, now I am convinced that you are in good hands. It didn't appeal to his intellect, but he said, now you are in good hands, I know, and therefore you keep serving your spiritual master. Right? But here again we find many times Srila Prabhupada got this conflict, between Krishna's words and the parents. When Brahmananda and Gargamuni Prabhu's mother came, Srila Prabhupada taught them the code of dharma to respect the mother by touching her feet. The only time a devotee might not even in a harsh, gross way. Yesterday we were at Nair Medical College and that's where I first time heard this slang. The boys said, I was in lack of words. I was wanting to say something really weird, awkward people do. And the boys said, gross giri. This is a common term among students these days. If people do something very gross, awkward, weird, they say, bahut gross giri kar raha hai. I was thinking gross is the word only used by Hare Krishna devotees. But even these boys, they are talking about gross nowadays. And these boys were saying, we're gross giri, people are doing too much gross giri and all of that kind of thing. By any case, Prabhupada realized this, that, these boys will become just rogues. They already have that rebellious tendency. All the young teenagers have rebellious tendency. They anyways have rejected their parents. Now, I must teach them to respect their parents. The only time when they might, not even in a gross, harsh way, in a gentle way, differ is when they object their practice of Krishna consciousness. At all other times, Prabhupada wanted his disciples to be respectful to the parents and follow the code of dharma and become dharmashil. In the name of Krishna consciousness, becoming transcendental, justifying that we have become transcendental, Srila Prabhupada did not want his disciples and followers to leave the gentlemanly qualities of respect even to parents. Dinadayadri Mataji explains that when her father came to meet Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk on the floor. The father also came and sat in Sukhasan just opposite. And the father was so pleased with the gentle manners and behavior of Srila Prabhupada, with the respect that Srila Prabhupada offered. Dinayadri Mataji told her mother, please take a picture with both of them. So then both of them were sitting and the mother took a picture and then Prabhupada and her father both were there and she still has the picture and she says, my two fathers, my material father and my spiritual father. And she says that Prabhupada told her father that I also had a son and he is in Calcutta, and Prabhupada started talking about parenting and parental affairs and all of that, and they were so touched that they told Mataji that, yes, very nice, don't worry, your spiritual master is very good, you are in good hands again. But Srila Prabhupada always encouraged devotees to follow the principle of respect to elders, to superiors, to parents, and not just be gross and disrespectful. Yadoshcha dharmashilascha nitaram muni sattama yadu. Although he disobeyed the orders of his father Yayati, is called dharmashil here. Why? Because he prioritized his service to Lord Krishna. And then he says, tatra amshena avatirnasya vishnor viryani shamsanaha. My dear Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami, in that Yadukul appeared the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnuhu avatirnasya amshasya. Someone might say, Vishnu? Is Krishna an incarnation of Vishnu? No. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna is not an incarnation of Vishnu. Krishna appeared in this world, whose Amsha Vishnu stays in Vaikuntha. Right. It's not that Vishnu or Viryani Amsha means Krishna is an Amsha of Vishnu. No. Krishna, whose Amsha is Vishnu, appeared in this world. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna appeared in this world with his Amsha, Balaram, Baladev. He appeared in this world with Baladev. Right. Other Vaishnava Acharyas have explained, Krishna appeared in this world and the word Amshena. What is the meaning of this Amsha? Krishna Suryasam, Maya Hoy Andhakar, Jaha Su Krishna, Taha Nahi, Maya Radhikar. Wherever there is Krishna, there is light. There cannot be Maya. Wherever there is Maya, there cannot be Krishna. So if Krishna appears in this world, how can there be darkness? How can there be ignorance? Simply by the coming of Krishna, Maya should be destroyed. Krishna Suryasam, Maya Hoy Andhakar, all the darkness of ignorance should be destroyed. But if the darkness of ignorance and Maya is destroyed, then the purpose of this material world to rectify fallen souls will not be accomplished. This world must have Maya, then the rebellious souls will change. So Amshena refers to, Krishna comes, darkness has to be dispelled, but complete darkness cannot be dispelled. So when Krishna appeared in the prison cell, the darkness of the prison cell was gone. So Amshena means, there is so much darkness, but Amsha, only a part of darkness in the prison cell was dispelled by the appearance of Krishna in this material world. And then Parikshit Maharaj goes on to continue, Avatirya Dorvamshe Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kritavan Yani Vishwatma Tani No Vadavistarat. In that Yadu Vamsha, Bhagavan has come, Krishna has come. And today all of us know Krishna as Bhagavan. In the VJTI base, Bhandirvan base, one of our devotee boys comes there. Very interesting story. His friend, his name was Madhav, and this boy, he started coming to our programs. And when he came to our programs, he liked that program, the prasad he liked in particular. So he went and told this boy, Are wo udhar hai na? Wo udhar ek apartment hai, Hare Krishna wala aate hai. उधर 700 रुपए में तीन बार का भंडारा मिलता है, थ्री टाइम्स प्रसाद. बोले 700 रुपए में तीन बार का भंडारा मिलता है और बहुत अच्छा भंडारा है, आजा. रियली सेड, क्या क्या करना पड़ता है? बोले सबसे पहले प्रश्न नहीं पूछने का उनको, बस. इफ यू आस्क क्वेश्चन दे विल नॉट लीव यू फॉर टू आवर्स, दे विल मेक यू सिट एंड गिव यू बिग प्रवचन. डोंट आस्क एनी क्वेश्चन टू देम, गो ईट एंड कम बैक. एंड देन ही सेड, नॉट जस्ट दैट, वन मोर थिंग, यू हैव टू एटलीस्ट से, verbally accept that Krishna is God. If you at least verbally accept Krishna is God, then they'll allow you to eat. Accept Krishna is God. And this boy said, Are 700 rupaye mein teen bar ka khana milta hai na, to Krishna kya kams ko bhi Bhagwan manne ke liye tayar hu main. Right. And this boy came, but by coming in touch with the devotees, by coming in touch with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he has become such a wonderful devotee and such a powerful devotee that now he goes and tells other, Krishna is God, okay? First he was thinking, okay, Krishna comes, I don't care, khana mil raha na, okay. But now this guy has become such a fantastic devotee that he has accepted Krishna as Bhagavan. Avatirna yador vamshe Bhagavan bhuta bhavana. Krishna comes in this world for what? Bhuta bhavana. सारे भूतों को भावना में डुबाने के लिए, नॉट द भूताज घोस्ट, टू इमर्स ऑल द लिविंग बींग्स भूताज इन द भाव ऑफ कृष्ण प्रेम. कृष्ण कम्स टू दिस वर्ल्ड टू इमर्स ऑल द लिविंग बींग्स इन द फ्लड ऑफ लव ऑफ गॉड, भूत भावना. एंड हाउ डज ही डू दैट? कृतवान यानी, बाय परफॉर्मिंग सच वंडरफुल पास्ट टाइम्स. गोपीनाथ तुम्ही कृपा पारा बार, जीवेर कारणे असिया प्रपंचे लीला कोयलो सुबिस्तार भूत भावना. माय डियर लॉर्ड, यू आर कृपा पारावार, व्हाई डू यू कम टू दिस प्रपंच? लीला कोयलो सुबिस्तार कृतवान यानी, टू परफॉर्म मोस्ट वंडरफुल पास्ट टाइम्स. फॉर व्हाट पर्पस? जीवेर कारणे, टू इमर्स ऑल द लिविंग बीइंग्स इन लव ऑफ गॉड. यू अपियर इन दिस वर्ल्ड भूत भावना, यू कम टू दिस डर्टी वर्ल्ड सिंपली फॉर द बेनिफिट of all the living entities. Umapati Swami and Hayagriva Prabhu in the early days, Howard Wheeler I guess, both of them now were becoming slowly coming close to Swamiji in New York. And one day they saw, that time they didn't call him Prabhupada, one day they saw the dust cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Swamiji had brought from India. And the cover had a picture of a lotus flower, and along with the lotus flower there were several bubbles. The first canto, you know, the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan and all of this, Vaikunthas, bubbles and all of that. And they were so fascinated, they said, wow, this is far out. And both of them in particular liked the particular bubble very much. So they were so fascinated by that one bubble on the cover. Afternoon, when Haigiri Prabhu was going to meet Srila Prabhupada, Umapati Swami said, I am not coming, but you must ask Swamiji, what is that bubble? That is far out. I mean, we have to really see if we can go there. We have to go to that bubble. So then Haigiri Prabhu came to Prabhupada and asked, and when he returned, Umapati Swami said, did you ask him? He said, yes, yes, I asked Swamiji. He said, what is that? He said, that is the material world, that big black bubble. They were so fascinated by that bubble that they wanted to go there, but they didn't know they were already there. Right. But Krishna comes to this world, Bhuta Bhavana, to deliver the living entities in this material world and to immerse them in love of God. Bhava refers to prema. Bhuta Bhavana means immersing the living beings of this world in the loving sentiments of pure devotional service to Krishna. And that is why Krishna comes to this world. Kritavan yani karmani, performs wonderful pastimes, tani no vada vistarat. And Parikshit Maharaj is telling Sukadeva Goswami, in 9th canto you told so many things about Ram, and only in 2 shlokas you told about Krishna. Now, vistarat, elaborately describe to me about the wonderful pastimes and glorious qualities of Krishna, and these, and a few more verses, 3-4 more verses, the 6 or 7 verses become the cause of 90 chapters of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami speaks about all the Krishna Leela in Vrindavan, in Mathura and in Dwaraka. It was Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness that was responsible for Krishna Leela. It was Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness that was responsible for Narasimha Leela. It was Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness that was responsible for Rama Leela in our lives. If he was not eager to hear, we would have none of these Leelas for us. And therefore, it is our gratitude to great souls like Parikshit Maharaj and His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada that because of their eagerness, we have this most wonderful divine pastimes of the Lord which are available and accessible to all of us by which we can be purified and make our way back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to go over time. I didn't see the clock. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.